This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
So today I want to focus on, where I left off, and you may have forgot where I left off a few weeks ago. And we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Can somebody say the Holy Spirit? And, we get acquainted with God the Father and even our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. A lot of people don't realize that. And really, you can fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And you say, what, Pastor? Can you run that by me again? You can fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Now, in 2 Corinthians 13:14, it says it this way: may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Notice it said the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus is grace personified. And then, we get that revelation that Jesus is our grace. Amen. Then we need to get the revelation that God is love. How many people have that revelation that God is love? Amen? And the love of God, the grace of Jesus with us, the love of God is working with us. And it says here, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. That tells me that we're supposed to be in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Amen? So we get to know God through the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And we found this out in my first session when I preached on the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. Yeah. So you have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, three in one. Yeah. Amen? And they all are connected, but they all have different functions, glory to God. And so I'm going to talk to you about the function of the Holy Spirit and help you maybe get a deeper knowledge of the Holy Spirit. And when you get that deeper knowledge, you're going to walk in a greater place in God. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I want to walk in a greater place in God. How many people want to walk in a greater place in God? I want to hear God more. I want to follow God more. I want God to be in my life 24/7. How many people want God in your life? And I'm telling you, the devil is out here. He's trying to shut down God on each one of us. And he does that through two ways, fear and pride. Those are the two disconnectors of the Holy Spirit, fear and pride. And that keeps us from following the Lord, fear and pride. Can I get a witness in the house today? But we're not going to walk in fear and pride. We're going to walk in love and faith. As Christians, you walk in love and faith, not fear and pride. Amen? Glory to God. I know this is good this morning. Amen. And so the Holy Spirit has a mind and emotions. The Holy Spirit has a mind and in other words, the Holy Spirit can influence our thinking and to line up with God's thinking. The Holy Spirit wants to influence your thinking. And the only way he can do that is by you getting the Word of God on the inside of you. Because once you get that Word of God in you and you're studying the Word, then the Holy Spirit can bring the word that you've studied to your mind at the time that you need it. Amen. And sometimes we need a God word. There's every once in a while where the enemy's working and the devil's trying to work against us, trying to put fear on us. Have you ever had fear come upon you? And the devil wants to put fear and anxiety. Another word for fear is anxiety. Anybody ever are acquainted with anxiety? Amen. Amen. Fear, anxiety, worry. Amen. And we don't want that to be a part of us because that would keep us from following God. Amen. We don't want to be worried, fearful, glory to God. No, we want to walk in love. And the Bible says perfect love casts out fear. So when you, when you get the revelation that God loves you, that God's for you, and that God's with you, you cannot be stressed out. You got to get that revelation that when you wake up, God is with you. He's going to help you. Amen. Say, God is helping me. Amen. And he's and the Holy Spirit's helping you stay focused on this message today. Amen. And so we got to line our thinking up with God's thinking. The Holy Spirit will help you think like God. I love that. And I'm telling you, I want to see, if you think like God, you're going to be very creative. Amen. God is a creator. And you're going to be a very creative person if you think like God. You're going to have witty ideas. God's going to show you things. He's going to reveal ways to make life easy for you. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that the Holy Spirit can make show you ways to make it much more easier for you? Yes, He can. And He wants to, because the Bible says, Jesus said, my yoke is hard and my burdens are heavy. Okay. No, my yoke is light. My yoke is easy. My burdens are light. Amen. So His yoke is easy. So what am I saying to you this morning? I'm saying if you're truly hooking up with God, it's not going to be a hard task. You know, I saw in a Christian movie, and somebody said, Jesus is a hard taskmaster. It was written inside the movie. But the Bible doesn't teach that. He's not a hard taskmaster. Amen? It's easy to walk in God. Somebody say, it's easy to walk in God. And so in Philippians 2:5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So I'm going to say this. You gotta have the mind of Christ. You ready for this morning? You gotta shut out all the worldly influences. Amen. I'm gonna say it again. If you are absorbing a bunch of worldly stuff all the time, that's gonna shut down the mind of Christ. Amen. Amen. And the enemy's constantly trying to get the world on the inside of us. Amen. So we gotta shut down TikTok. What, Pastor? Don't come against my TikTok. Amen. We got to be careful with Instagram. What, Pastor? You know, we got to be careful with these things because the devil is the prince of the power of the air. What does that mean? He works through television. He works through the internet, trying to shut down our sensitivity. Woo! What am I saying to you this morning? In other words, if the devil can shut down you being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because that's what we got to do. We got to stay sensitive. Amen? You got to stay sensitive, knowing that God wants to lead us and guide us in all truth. The key, the common analogy in being led by the Spirit, I'm still talking about that because that's the key to walking in victory, is that you must have a humble mind. You must have humility. If you don't have any humility, you're unteachable. If you think you know it all, you're unteachable. If you think that you have all the answers, you're unteachable. And the Holy Spirit can't direct you. So you gotta get the cockiness out. Amen? It was like Luke Skywalker that shot down some enemies. He said, I got one, right? And Han Solo said, don't get cocky, kid, you know. And we don't want to get cocky in what we know, because we don't know anything yet that we should know. Amen. The Bible says, just because you know something doesn't mean you know it all. And doesn't mean that you can't learn from anybody. You can even learn from a Baptist. No, I'm kidding. But you can learn from any denomination. You can learn. We're non-denominational. But you can learn. You don't want to shut down anybody, because the Baptists are pretty good at getting people saved. Amen. Amen. They're pretty good in building relationships. We can learn something from the Baptists. Amen. We can learn something. Amen. We all can learn something from somebody. So look at your neighbor and say, be teachable. So we must have a humble spirit. Jesus had a humble spirit. Think about this. Jesus was in heaven before He came down on earth. Before God created a body for Jesus, Jesus was with the Heavenly Father. Jesus always existed. Now, some cults will tell you that he didn't always exist, that God created Jesus. No, Jesus always existed with the Father. And think about this, that he had to make a decision. Think about this, that he had to lay it down. He had to lay down his heavenly power. He had to lay down all this. And you know, it's nothing that God is not asking us to do. Sometimes he asks us to lay it down. Are you willing to lay down your natural life to pick up a spiritual life? Are you willing to lay it down? Are you willing to give up TikTok? Are you willing? Hey, I'm going somewhere this morning. Are you willing to give up Instagram? Are you willing to give up some of this bling bling and the worldliness and the way the world works? Yes, are you willing to give it up for something higher? I'm willing to give it up, glory to God. And Jesus was willing to give it up, lay it all on the line. That's why we love Jesus. And you know what? Jesus wants us following in his footsteps. He wants us laying it all on the line for him. And when you get so committed and you're not backing up, you're not going to give up, you're not going to quit, you're not going to throw in the towel, that you're saying, no matter hell or high water, I'm going to keep going with Jesus no matter what. And you got to have that kind of resolve if you're going to be if you're going to learn to be led by the Holy Spirit, because the devil's going to try to get some things working against you to try to get you to give up on God. And I'm not going to give up on God. I'm not going to quit. Amen. The devil may try to hold some people back from coming to church. The devil may try to get us focused on the empty seats, but I'm going to focus on the filled seats. Glory to God. I'm not going to focus on the empty seats that the devil wants us to focus on. No, these empty seats are for the lost that are coming in sooner than we think. We got a seat reserved for you. Amen. Glory to God. And you better get in here because we may not have too many seats left after a while. Glory to God. And the Holy Spirit, he has emotion. He has a mind, and he wants us to have the mind of Christ. The Holy Spirit has a will, and our goal is to line up our will with God's will. And God's will is God's plan for our life, and his plan is better than our plan. Has anybody figured that out yet? That God's plan for your life is better than your own plan. Amen. I believe that today. And you can do things, and even good things, but if it's not God-inspired, it's just vanity. Amen. I'm going to say again, you can do things and you can do good things, but if it's not inspired by the Holy Spirit, it will count for nothing on reward day. Amen. And I want everything that I do count for something. I don't want to have a wasted life down here. I don't want my life to be a waste. I want my life to count. How many people want your life to count? And in Psalms 127:1, it says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Unless the Lord puts your life together. How many people realize that God is the potter? Amen. And that we are the clay? Yes. And some of you are on the spindle. Amen. God is molding you. And to look like, you know what God wants you to look like, right? Jesus. He's molding you into the image of Jesus. Amen. Do you believe that today? Amen. And Jesus walked in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, you guys, you gals are looking more like Jesus every day. The Bible says when we see him, we shall be just like him. How many people are moving closer to God? Amen. Amen. You got to be moving. Don't be running from God like Jonah. Be running to God. Amen. Because you might find yourself in the belly of a great fish. And we don't want to be in the belly of a great fish. Amen. And the Holy Spirit has feelings. Have you ever noticed that? That the Holy Spirit has feelings. The Holy Spirit can be pleased with our actions, and he can be grieved with our actions. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I want my actions to please the Holy Spirit. And the way you know if the Holy Spirit's displeased, you can sense it in your own heart. You can sense when you displease the Holy Spirit. Amen. And because you have there's a grieving that you can actually grieve. And you're feeling what the Holy Spirit's feeling. And when you feel grieved, you know, it's the Holy Spirit. Even Jesus, when he was at Lazarus' tomb and they were doubting, you know, the power of God and the miracle working power of Jesus. And Jesus wept, you know, and he felt that their faith wasn't really where it needs to be. And I'm telling you that God, the Lord will reveal to us when things aren't right. If it ain't quaint, it ain't. Amen. Glory to God. And I made that one up. Amen. So 2 Corinthians 5:9 says it this way. Therefore, we make our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. Amen. So how do you become well-pleasing to God? That's the question. How, Pastor, how do you become well-pleasing to God? Is it just going to church? Well, yeah. Is it just reading your Bible? Yeah. Is it just praying? Is that how you... Well, you got to have an attitude connected to going to church. And the attitude has to be a good attitude. You got to have a good attitude about reading your Bible. You can't be just, well, okay, I'll do my duty today. You can't be just trying to do your duty and read the Bible, because you got to read it with an open heart. Amen. You can't be praying to prove a point. Well, I prayed 5 hours last night to tell all your spiritual buddies how much more spiritual you are. Amen. Glory to God. It's not about how long you pray. It's about your attitude in your praying. It's about your attitude in your Bible reading. It's about your attitude in serving God. Woo! Do you have a good attitude? You know, in Isaiah, it says in 119, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Now, this is an interesting scripture because Brother Hagin, you know, was a pastor for 12 years. And then God told him that you aren't in your calling. God, he was in God's permissive will, but he wasn't in God's perfect will. You know, you can be in God's permissive will. God will permit you to do some things, even though you may not be in his perfect will. And you can learn some things in God's permissive will. God will permit things. Amen. But in his perfect will, that's the place called there. That's the place where we want to get there. And so Brother Hagin said that he would preach, but it just didn't seem right in the church. And then finally the Lord said, you know, you're not really in the calling that I've called you. I've called you to be an itinerant minister, to go around and preach in stadiums and all that, in churches, to build the churches up. And so he quit his church and he went out to do that. And what happened was that he wasn't making as much money. He wasn't being provided for as much as he was when he was a pastor. And he started looking at his finances and you know, he was suffering financially. Anybody ever suffer financially in here? And he was suffering financially, and he fasted and prayed for 3 days. And the Lord and he was saying, Lord, you know, I'm giving you the scripture, the willing and obedient eat the good of the land. And he said, I'm not eating the good of the land. Amen. And some of you might experience that. And the Lord said, well, you don't qualify. You know, the Lord will speak to you. Amen. And the Lord will speak to you. That's what we're talking about. The Lord needs to set some of us straight. Amen. And he said, you don't qualify for the best of the land. He said, why? Because you're obedient, but you're not willing. You don't have a willing attitude. In other words, you're not positive in serving me. You're doing it, but you're doing it out of duty instead of love. Amen. And I'm going to say this: we can't serve God out of duty. We need to serve God out of love. Amen. That He loved us. And he gave everything to us, and that he laid it down for us. Amen. Amen. He laid it all down for us. So we need to match that. We need to lay it all down for him. Amen. And I love that. And so Jesus, you know, Jesus was being water baptized by John the Baptist. And this is interesting because John the Baptist was called the forerunner of Jesus, right? And John the Baptist, you know, he had a ministry to get people's hearts prepared for Jesus coming. And so John the Baptist was one of the greatest prophets. Jesus called him one of the greatest prophets ever risen up. But Jesus had to submit to John the Baptist's ministry. Think about this. He had to submit to another man's ministry before he got his own ministry. This is saying something. Because if you want your own ministry, you got to get submitted to a pastor or somebody that has a ministry. Amen. And when you get submitted under a man, under God, then you can learn to be submissive and you can learn to follow directions and you can learn to follow God. Because when you follow a man that's being led by God, you're following God. You know, in other words, the Apostle Paul says it this way, follow me as I follow Christ. And I'm going to say this, your pastor is doing everything he can to stay as close to Jesus as possible. Amen. Amen. And I deal with temptations and I deal with all this stuff. But you know what? I have to put those things down. Listen, you got to guard the anointing. You got to protect your relationship with God. You got to protect it by all means. You got to protect your relationship with God. Don't ever take your relationship with God for granted. Don't ever think what you have with God you're going to have tomorrow, because you might not have it tomorrow if you start fluffing off the things of God. Don't take for granted the peace and the joy that you're walking in. Don't take for granted these things. I'm telling you, I was talking to the Lord one time, and I said, Lord, how am I doing? And the Lord said, for now, you're doing good. For now, you're doing good, but keep doing good. For now. I said, okay, Lord, I'm doing good. In other words, don't think that you have arrived. Don't think, oh man, I'm arrived in God. Everything's good. No, you've got to keep pressing in. Why? Because there's a force out here, an evil force that's trying to keep us back. There's a flow, an evil, negative, dark flow. You know, light moves. Darkness stays still. It doesn't move at all. And so when you are walking in the light, God is always causing us to move. You should always be moving, because the first two letters of God is go. That's why you need to be going to church. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Go. Go into all the world and preach the good news to every creature. And so we're talking about Jesus, and so he's submitted to the Father, but he submitted to John the Baptist, and it says here, when he had been baptized, Matthew 3:16-17, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, alighting upon him, and suddenly the voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, who I am well pleased. That's powerful. So we see that the Holy Spirit was likened like a dove. He's not a dove. But think about if the Holy Spirit's likened like a dove and the Holy Spirit's upon us, think about a dove being on your shoulder. If a dove is on your shoulder and you're walking around, how will you walk around? Would you be very, very sensitive on all the things that you do? Amen. You wouldn't be sporadic. You wouldn't be running around with your head cut off like a chicken. Amen. No, you would be very careful in everything that you do. So when we're, in other words, as people of God, we are very careful. We just don't make snap decisions. We think about everything that we do. Amen. And we think about all the consequences of our actions and what can happen to us if we go down the wrong path. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? So you always want to be always thinking before moving forward in God. Amen. Today I want to focus on the attributes of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit functions in a believer's life to lead and guide us into all truth. Jesus revealed his most important revelation of the Holy Spirit to his disciples at the end of his earthly ministry. Let's look at this, because here the Holy Spirit reveals that he's our helper. And I'm going to say this, that you're not in this by yourself. You're not by yourself with this walk with God. No, you have the power of the Holy Spirit helping you. Can I say amen? And the Holy Spirit will help you in every arena of your life. He just doesn't help you to come to church. He doesn't just help you to do spiritual things. He helps you in every arena of your life. He helps you if you're a parent to parent your children. He helps you if you're a spouse to love your spouse. He helps you as a sheep to love your pastor. Can I get a witness in the house today? Say, Pastor, I love you. Amen. So even when I step on your toes, even when I don't say everything right, even when I might misquote a scripture, you let it go by. Amen. You may tell me at the end, you know, Pastor, you misquote. I normally figure that out when I watch my videos. Oh, man, I messed up. Amen. But you know what? Hopefully I have more wins than losses when I preach. And hopefully in your life, you're having more wins than losses in your life. So I love this one. It says in John 14, 16 through 17, it says, I will pray the Father and he'll give you another helper. Somebody say another helper. That he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and be in you. So it says here, the Holy Spirit dwells with us and the Holy Spirit is in us. And he's there to help us. You're not in it by yourself. That's why I always say this. If you start dabbling in the darkness, you never sin by yourself. That's right. Amen. You got the demon tempting you. Amen. But you got the Holy Spirit in you. And wherever you go, you bring the Holy Spirit with you. I would say it again. And you want to bring the Holy Spirit into sanctified places, not into ungodly places. Can I get a witness? Because that's where you grieve the Holy Spirit. You know, when my wife first got born again and she got saved, she used to go to the clubs. Anybody ever been to the clubs out here? Amen. Anybody used to shake that booty, right? Amen. You used to shake it, right? Any dancers out here? Amen. Love to dance. Amen. Last dance. Romance. Okay. Amen. I'm getting a little whirly in here. Pray for the pastor. And so my wife went to the club after she got saved. Now she didn't realize, because she didn't have a lot of teaching, but she didn't realize that the club is the devil's church. Do you know the club is the devil's church? The bartender's the pastor. Amen. He's giving you the drinks so you can be at peace, right? The spirits, you know, they say booze are called spirits. Think about it. And then you talk to the bartender about your problems, right? And he doesn't give you any solutions but more beer, right? Glory to God. And it ends up getting worse. Amen. And so she was in the club and she didn't realize, I don't think at that time, that she had the Holy Spirit with her, but the Holy Spirit came in the club with her and she felt evil in the club. She felt like that club was evil. And it was like, she explained it like the movie The Blade. Have anybody ever seen the movie The Blade with Wesley Snipes? He's like a half vampire, half human, and he beats up the vampires. Amen? I don't recommend that you go watch it. Amen? But she said there was a scene in that movie where it was all evil and they were dancing, and she felt the same way. She just felt evil in the place. See, God can reveal to you where evil is in the place where you're at. And she said, and she felt in her heart, I need to get out of here. I need to leave. Amen. And so the Holy Spirit will warn you and help you to get back on track with God. And that was the last club you've been to, right? That was the last club she went to. Amen. She's nodding her head. Amen. And the Holy Spirit is our teacher. Say, the Holy Spirit's my teacher. And so the Holy Spirit can show you and reveal to you about the Word of God. It says, in John 14, 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. So he will teach us, so you can read your Bible and you don't have to have a commentary. Amen. You don't have to have somebody else that read it to tell you what it means. The Holy Spirit can actually show you what the Bible means if you have an open heart and you're humble. And you're not trying to prove a point when you read the Bible. trying to get a point across. See, the Bible says you don't have to do this. If you try to prove a point that the Bible, you're saying the Bible says you don't have to do this, you probably have to do it. Amen. The Bible says I don't have to go this way. I don't have to do that. You probably have to do it. Amen. Why? Because you're trying to prove a point. You don't have to, but you get to. Amen. And then the Holy Spirit will witness to us on behalf of Jesus. I love this. It says in John 15:26, but when the Helper comes, he will show sin to you from Father, the Spirit of truth, proceeds from Father, and he will testify of me. So the Holy Spirit will testify of Jesus to you. Amen. And the Holy Spirit is sent to us by Jesus going to the cross. And so when Jesus went to the cross, that's when he allowed the Holy Spirit to be poured out on all flesh, and that was the day of Pentecost. We know this, that the Holy Spirit came into the disciples when Jesus was resurrected, and he came into that room that they were in, and the Bible said Jesus breathed on the disciples, and they received the Holy Spirit. So you have the Holy Spirit when you get saved, and then the Holy Spirit also can come upon you for the work of the ministry. Can somebody say ministry? Amen. You guys got to say it just right. And so the Holy Spirit is in us and he's with us. And I love this. In John 16:7, it says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Amen. I love this about the Holy Spirit. He will show you future events. Now, I talked about this before, but sometimes it's good to know things ahead of time. In other words, God doesn't want us caught off guard. Amen. And God wants to warn us and show us things to come. And so he wants to do that. I like this about the Holy Spirit. And well, it says here in 16, 12, and 13, I'll say, I have many things to say to you, this is Jesus speaking, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you in all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. And I kindly say this all the time. Don't be asking Jesus for the lottery numbers. Amen? Glory to God. Because that's not the way. No, you're supposed to work. Amen? The Bible says you're supposed to work and provide and not gamble and do it that way. No, you're supposed to do something for somebody else. Now, I'm not against, you know, if you want to do it for fun, that's all right. I'm not against that. But don't try to make it a living unless you're a professional. Amen? Because these professionals can do really well at that. Amen? But most cases, that's the reason why these slot machines are called one-arm bandits. Do you know why they're called one-arm bandits? Because they take all your money. Amen. You might get blessed one day, but I'm telling you, you can't outlast these machines, because what happens, greed comes in when you gamble, and you think, I can win more, I can win more, I can win more. And when greed comes in, you lose all, you lose all, you lose all. What goes to Vegas stays in Vegas, your money. But anyway, continue. Amen. So John 14:16, it says here that Jesus is the Helper. Amen. I thought you guys would like that a little bit. Amen. Jesus is the Helper. Amen. And we don't put our trust and faith in lottery tickets. We put our trust and faith in God. Amen. Amen. God is our provider. Amen. Jehovah Jireh. And so it says here, John 14:16, it says here that Jesus is our helper. And that word helper means comforter. That means he will give us peace in stressful circumstances. And I'm telling you, what you need is, you don't need, I kiddingly say this, you don't need to go to drugs or alcohol for peace. You can go to Jesus. Now, the devil will try to get you to go to drugs and alcohol to try to relieve your stress. But, you know, it doesn't relieve the stress. It's a temporary fix to long-term misery. I'm going to say again, it's a temporary fix to long-term misery. It will end up destroying your life. Amen. And I'm telling you, and you will end up in the throne and not the throne of God. Amen. The throne in your bathroom. Amen. So glory to God. So what am I saying here? He's our comforter. He'll give us peace in stressful circumstances. He's our advocate. He's a person pleading advocate is a person that pleads on someone's behalf. So the Holy Spirit pleads on our behalf. He's our intercessor. And he helps us to pray. The Holy Spirit helps us pray. The Holy Spirit is our counselor. Amen. He gives us good advice. He tells us to be prudent. Glory to God. He tells us, you know, he helps us not to jump out real quick on things. He's our strengthener. He strengthens us in times of weaknesses, and he's our standby. Readiness for duty and immediate employment for times of emergency. So the Holy Spirit is amazing. And you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You have the Holy Spirit upon you to do great and mighty things. I love this. It says in John 16, because we're going to focus on the Holy Spirit as your helper. And it says, I tell you the truth, it is your advantage that I go away, that if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you, but I depart and I will send him to you. So I'm telling you, it's better to have the Holy Spirit with you than Jesus in the flesh. It's quiet in here today. It's better to have the Holy Spirit with you than Jesus in the flesh. Because Jesus might be with you one day and be with somebody else the next day. But the Holy Spirit's with all of us all at one time. Can I get a witness in there? And the Holy Spirit wants to help us. Now let's look at this scripture here, because this is a powerful scripture where I'm gonna launch my message off in this scripture here. As it says, when he has come, in John 16, 8 through 11, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment, of sin because they do not believe in me, and of righteousness because I go to the Father and you see me no more, and of judgment because the ruler of the world is judged. So these are very powerful scriptures. So the Holy Spirit, what his job and his function is to convict the world of sin. The sin, not of just sin of adultery or lying, cheating. It's a sin of not believing on Jesus. Amen. Can I get a witness in the house today? Amen. It's the sin of not believing on Jesus. And we got to get a witness of that the Holy Spirit will convict a person of the sin of not receiving Jesus or not having Jesus in their life. Amen. And, you know, I remember before I got born again. Does anybody remember before you were born again? Do you remember your past life? Amen. Well, it's all over. Amen. You have a new life in Christ. But I remember before I got born again that I was in my car driving by myself and I would start crying. And I didn't know why I was crying. I was weeping. And I knew where I was headed. I thought I did in life. But I felt in my heart that I was lost. And the Holy Spirit was moving on my heart. This was a few weeks before I received Jesus that I was lost. Amen. Think about that. Can the Holy Spirit wake you up? Yes. Can the Holy Spirit wake you up out of your that disgusting lifestyle that you're in? Amen. Amen. Can the Holy Spirit shake you a little bit and say, listen, I have better for you. There's a better life for you. Your life doesn't have to be like this. You don't have to be getting drunk and taking drugs and living a life like this. God has better for you. You got to believe that. Say, God has better for me. And so a life without Jesus, a life without being led by the Holy Spirit, is a life of vanity. What is vanity? Vain. It means it's a life that's not worth living. Amen? In other words, Jesus says this way, what does it profit a whole man to gain the whole world but lose his soul in hell? What is it to be a Hugh Hefner? Anybody ever heard of Hugh Hefner? He was the one that created Playboy, the pornographic magazine. He made millions of dollars doing that. And he had all these bunnies, what they call beautiful girls, around him. And, you know, he lived a long life. I think he lived a long time. But you know what? I heard stories that he was an atheist. He didn't believe in God. So what is it to be a Hugh Hefner, have all this, but end up in hell? Now, I'm not trying to preach Hugh Hefner in hell, but it doesn't look like that he may have made it to heaven. Amen? Now, on his last day, he could have. He could have called on the name of Jesus, and Jesus would have forgave every dastard, everything that he did. And Jesus would have accepted him in heaven. But if he didn't do that, you know he's not in heaven today. And so I'm going to say this to you, that what is it to live a Hugh Hefner's life and still end up in hell? It's not worth it. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the tents of my God than to dwell in the palaces of the wealthy. Can I get a witness in the house today? Because that's short-lived. But eternity is forever. It just keeps going and going and going. The Holy Spirit will convict us. This is what the Holy Spirit's job. I got to get out of my chair today. The Holy Spirit's job is not to tell you how bad you are. Oh, I'm going somewhere today. The Holy Spirit's job is not to tell you how bad you are. He's not to tell you you're miserable, you're disgusting, you're a low-life sinner. He will never say that. Because the Holy Spirit will always line up with the Word of God and what the Word of God says about you. The Holy Spirit will never downgrade you. The Holy Spirit will never tell you that you're nothing, that you're a lowlife, that you know you should end it all. That's what the devil will do. The devil talks like that. The devil will tell you there's no hope. The devil will tell you that no way God can forgive you this time. No. God's mercies are forever and they're renewed every morning. There's always a second chance with God as long as you call on the Most High God. Amen. Say there's always a second chance and a third chance. Because I serve a God of U-turns. The God of the fresh start. The God of the new beginning. Amen. That's who you serve. And so the Holy Spirit will always convict us that we're righteous in God. It says here in 1 John 2, 1 and 2, "My little children, these things I write to you, that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and He Himself is a propitiation for our sins, not only for ours, but also for the whole world." God's not holding people's sins against them. God's holding against people that they don't receive Jesus as their Lord. Amen. Amen. They're not humble enough to receive Jesus. And you got to be humble to receive Jesus. Amen. And so the Holy Spirit reveals that we are innocent before a holy God because of the blood of Jesus. I remember I sinned one time. And this was just last week. No, I'm kidding. I really did a bad sin. This was years ago. And it was a pretty bad sin. Don't think about how bad it was. This is before I was a pastor. Amen. And it was a bad sin in my eyes. And I was grieved over my sin. And I was grieving over my sin. And I was feeling condemned. And the Holy Spirit gave me this scripture to read. And he said, and the Holy Spirit led me to read it over and over again. And it's Romans 8, 1 and 2. Because it says, "Therefore there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus." Amen. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Amen? I may have shortened that. Amen? Those who do not walk in the flesh, but walk in the Spirit. But he's saying here, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. I'm going to say this to you this morning. You're innocent people if you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you're moving forward in Him. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Say, "I'm an innocent person." Amen. And the Holy Spirit reveals to a believer that we're children of God. See, the devil will try to make you think because you sin that you're not really a child of God anymore. Some people may teach that when you sin, the Holy Spirit's not there anymore. No, if the Holy Spirit leaves you, then you're never going to want to go back. I'm going to say again, if you sin to the point that the Holy Spirit leaves, you will never be drawn back to God because you never want to come back to God. But if you have a heart, "Oh man, I messed up, I want God in my life," then the Holy Spirit never left you. If you have any kind of grief or remorse about your sin, then the Holy Spirit's still with you. Because if you don't have any grief or remorse about your sin and you can go on sinning without even repenting, then you better check your salvation card. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? I can't get away with sin in my life. I can't go out there and go sinning. I can't do it. Amen. Why? Because the love of God constrains me. I just can't do it. And I won't forfeit joy and peace. I will not forfeit the joy and peace that God has for us. Because what we'll have, if you continue to go out sinning, doing the wrong things, you sacrifice joy and peace and you get misery and grief in replace of it. Amen. And I don't want misery and grief. I want joy and peace. So why would anybody go back to that stuff? I'm not going back. I'm pressing in like the Apostle Paul. Amen? And the Holy Spirit's job is to reveal to believers that we, of who we are in Christ, amen, that we're born again. And we are born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. And if you confess the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and you keep confessing His Lordship over your life, you will stay saved. Amen. I'm going to say it again. If you keep confessing the Lordship of Jesus Christ over your life, you will stay saved. Now, the Holy Spirit will also convict us that the devil has lost. It says here, the Holy Spirit convicts us that the devil has been judged. In John 16:11, of judgment, because the ruler of the world is judged. In John 12:31, it says, now is the judgment of the world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. So this is telling me that the devil lost his power when Jesus was resurrected. I'm going to say this again. The devil has been dethroned twice. What, Pastor? He has been dethroned in heaven when he tried to raise up his kingdom and said, I'm going to exalt myself above the Most High God. And then there was a two-hit fight, God hitting him and he hitting the ground. And then he fell to the earth. And then now the devil's bound to this earth realm. Right? Then he usurped the authority of mankind in the Garden of Eden by getting Adam and Eve to sin, so he stole their authority. But Jesus came back to get back our authority. And I want to say this, you got authority in Jesus' name. And no devil can make you take drugs. No devil can make you drink that alcoholic drink. No. If you're losing, it's because you're allowing yourself to lose. You have the power to say no. You have the power to stomp on the devil's head and crush him under your feet. So the devil, you know, Flip Wilson was a comedian back in the 60s. And he used to say, the devil made me do it. Yeah. Flip Wilson was a comedian. He would say, the devil made me do it. The devil can't make you do anything.
That's right. Amen.
That's right. Amen. He can't make you do anything. Can I give you another word? God can't make you do anything. Oh.
Yeah, that's right.
What? The devil can't make you, and God won't make you do anything. God will lead you and guide you. The devil will coerce you and push you and pressure you. So if you're dealing with pressure in your life, oh, I got to make a decision, then you need to back off. Because that's not God. God doesn't pressure you and force you in making a decision. No. The Holy Spirit leads you and guides you into all truth. We want to be led by love and faith, not fear and pride.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, the devil's trying to control some of us through fear, trying to keep us in fear, trying to make decisions in fear or in pride. But we need to be making our decisions to follow God in faith and love. And when we're making these decisions, we will win at every turn of our lives.
Amen.
So just to complete this preaching here, I just want to encourage you to recognize the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. That he's imparting his strengthening power. He's helping you. He's going to be with you. And he's going to make sure that you'll become just like Jesus. I want you to recognize the Holy Spirit more and more in your life. I'm telling you, when you get up, don't only say, hello, Heavenly Father. Hello, Jesus. I want you to say, hello, Holy Spirit. Thank you for helping me and leading me and guiding me into all truth. Thank you for showing me things to come. Thank you for helping my life be easy in you. Thank you for helping me stay right and stay away from sin and stay close to you, because I need your joy. I need your peace in my life. Amen. I'm telling you, did you receive it today? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness and your love. We thank you, Father, for those in the audience, those watching online. And I'm going to say this, if you've never confessed the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the Bible says today is the day of salvation, which means you may not have tomorrow. The Holy Spirit will tap you on the shoulder many times, but don't put off the Holy Spirit. Don't put off to tomorrow what you can do today. So I want to lead you in a prayer that will bring you into a place where the Holy Spirit will dwell in you and the Holy Spirit will be upon you to lead you in your life. Say this and mean in your heart. Say, dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead to save me. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that for the first time, we believe you got born again. Stay connected with Exceed Life Church online. If you're here locally, please come out, be a part of Exceed Life Church. If you're not here locally, find a good church home that will help you move forward in your walk with Christ so that you can become all that God has called you to be.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.